A reminder, you can make a contribution to KUAF anytime online. The web address for contributions, supportkuaf.com. This is Ozarks at Large. Patricia Limerick studies the American West. In fact, she's considered a vanguard of the controversial New Western History of movement, allowing for more study of the roles of race, gender, the environment, and class on the development of the American West. Last month, she spoke on the University of Arkansas campus as the 2013 Hartman Hotz Lecturer. Patricia Limerick, a professor of history and the chair of the board of the Center of American West at the University of Colorado, came to the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studio during her visit to talk about the delicate equation of living in the West and our current attitudes towards energy.
This concept of resilience is really an important thing, but also a really important question is how much disturbance of environments comes from things that look much more benign to us, that suburban sprawl, for instance. Well, not everyone finds that benign, but people who consider those suburbs to be their treasured homes, if a natural gas development is going in there, there's a real sense of, this is Eden, this is paradise, we can't have extraction, while the very lawn that the person
is... That's what I was going to say. Yeah. I was just in Arizona, and I was going up and down streets, and there were these green lawns, and you're thinking in the desert... That doesn't happen naturally.
No, it does not happen. And actually, one of the more comical aspects of Western history over time is that it's the interior West is not a particularly bright green place. Olive green, maybe. And yet that concept of the bright landscape is a bright green landscape. That drove a lot of the settlement of the West, and cities like Denver within a decade and a half had turned into places with lawns and gardens and so on. But it's quite an imposition. And when you see something that is bright green in the interior West, you can be pretty sure that somebody built an infrastructure and moved water around, stored it, and supplied it in the summer and so on. So bright green is actually the color of disturbance. And yet everybody who celebrates nature thinks of green. The environmental movement in the interior West is called the Green Movement. You think, well, no, that's just a little bit funny, because green means the Bureau of Reclamation has been at work. It means that the urban utility has been at work, or that a farmer has irrigated a field. So it's a very strong cultural programming that says, oh, look at this lovely green lawn. How close to nature we can feel as we imagine this green lawn. If we were all crazed for croquet and badminton, I might go for it if we were actually using those lawns in an interesting way. But whatever it is, a suburb is not a place innocent of fossil fuel. It wouldn't exist without a heavy expenditure of fossil fuel to drive to and from the workplace to the residence. So there's something just waiting to happen, I think, of suburbanites looking in the mirror a little bit more and thinking, oh, we want fossil fuel. We need to commute, after all. We like our homes much better when they are toasty. Natural gas is the primary form of heating, and more the form of electricity generation. So something's got to be reckoned with there at that point, that you have a history of the creation of suburban sprawl from a fossil fuel subsidy, and now in the Front Range area around Denver, you have really great outrage at natural gas production in their vicinity. But that disconnect between the resources that we're using and the site of production, we have to get smarter on that.
You use that word disconnect. I think often many of us who are not historians have a disconnect between history and the present and how you can use one to examine the other.
Right. I don't know that historians are ever going to be embraced as more than party poopers, though, in some ways, because we just say, well, for instance, a couple of the towns between Boulder and Denver that have been most ardent, the residents have been most ardent in fighting natural gas development, those towns really began economically in the 19th century as coal mining towns. Then they got makeovers as suburbs. So there's just a moment when you have to say to the people of Erie, Lafayette, you do realize that you originated out of a fossil fuel economy. And it's not like it's subtle, because every once in a while in those towns, a road collapses because the subsidence of the mine pulls the road down. So it's not like the history is over and finished. When the road falls in or the house falls in, that's kind of a reminder that this place has a complicated complicated history. But you would think in a lot of the rhetoric of fighting natural gas, you'd think we were in Eden. You'd think that Adam and Eve were still living in the suburbs there.
It's interesting because I read another interview with you, and it was about this other huge issue in the West and the rest of the country, water. And you mentioned that there are people who will come up to you and say, yes, water is the, in the future, this is the big environmental issue, this is the big social issue, availability of water. But then when you start to get any, the least bit technical or historical, people's eyes glaze over.
Yeah.
And
yeah. Yeah, I think there, for the water issue, for a long time, there was really a most excellent delegation of authority and responsibility that you could make if you said, as many people did say, oh, it's just about carrying capacity. It's just as in nature, you can only have so many mule deer or prairie dogs because nature will set the limit. There's a constraint on Western water. Humans will not have to make the choice. Nature will control us and discipline us and bring us in proper limits. So it's such a treat when you can say, well, you know, it's not really up to us. What nature will determine us. And as I understand, there were people before the Civil War, Northerners trying to avoid a conflict, who said, oh, we don't need to decide about expansion of slavery into the territories because the West is too dry to support plantation agriculture. So we won't have, well, no Civil War for us. Right. I mean, we'll just have nature take care of that. So it's a delight when you can say, don't ask us to make tough decisions. Nature will impose a carrying capacity. Well, 85% or so of the water in Western states goes to agriculture. That's a social decision. That was not nature saying, we'd right. like to grow alfalfa and hay right. with our resource. And that is a ridiculous thing that a good percent, I don't know if it's ridiculous, I'm not in that business. For the people in the business, it's not ridiculous. But a good percentage of Western water, agriculture, probably in many areas, the majority of that goes to growing hay and alfalfa for cattle. So if you move that from hay and alfalfa, it will certainly change the landscape in ways that might be crummy if you dewater those farms. But that water used for cities and industry, that could go on and on. The Denver Water Utility uses 2% of the state's water to support 25% of the people. So just a tiny percentage point coming from agriculture. That, and whether we want to do that,
right.
that's open for discussion.
Well, okay, then I'll end our conversation with this question. Cognitively not sustainable to have these disconnects. But is there reason to believe that we will have these sustainable conversations, these reasonable conversations?
I feel that this is one of the better areas for human reflection and decision because we have a level of comfort that is pleasant, but not life or death by a long shot. My phrase, which is not being adopted by historians or the American public for the last 100 years, is the era of improbable comfort made possible by an astounding but thoroughly taken for granted infrastructure.
I like
now,
that, actually.
I don't know why I cannot sell that phrase. Well, thank you, Kyle. I'm joining my cause here because they seem to like the short things like Gilded Age, you know,
right,
know,
so right.
Jacksonian era. So, but that's what we have, and there's a lot of cushion and padding in that. The Denver Water Utility, 51% of its water goes to outside irrigation. Green. Landscapes must be green. There's a lot of room for thought and choice in that. The percentage of water used for natural gas production in Colorado is a fraction, a tiny, tiny fraction compared to agriculture. And there is existing technology. Nobody needs to go off to a lab and work for 10 years on treating water that has been compromised in some way by being part of the fracking process or by the discovery of undesired and unintended discovery of water and saline that's already in the ground. So that there are ways to treat that water, which people already know. It costs. It will be a trial. It will be expensive. It will be burdensome. But we could do a lot with water treatment and water reuse. And so to say we can't, this is just how we live, is actually bitter fatalism and resignation. And I don't see that as required. If we choose, I mean, that's the stupid thing about fatalism is if you choose it, That's what you have.
It's self.
Yeah, right. Self-fulfilling.
Right.
Yeah. Uh-huh. But it's also possible to have that moment of conscious choice. Now, I think there are other issues, the change in the atmosphere, global climate change. There are issues like that, that's underway. If we changed our conduct, it would be years of lag before that would have an impact. And yet, even there, natural gas is so preferable to coal.
Right.
That there's some reason to be thinking in the bigger picture out of the scale of our particular neighborhood on that. So there's nothing in this that I think is beyond a normal person's intellectual reach. It's just a choice of, do you want to think in those broader terms, or do you just want to think about the moment right in front of you and the fact that you want to do two things at once. You want to keep natural gas development out of your neighborhood, and you want to go to your thermostat and set it where you would get
right.
what you wanted out of that
tough choice.
Resource. Yeah.
Patricia Limerick is a professor of history and the chair of the board of the Center of American West at the University of Colorado. She was the 2013 Hartman Hotz Lecturer at the University of Arkansas last month. Her books include Legacy of Conquest, The Unbroken Past of the American West.